You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Bach. I'm your buddy, your pal, your co-conspirator in all things truth, justice, and you being absolutely amazing, because you are absolutely amazing. You can be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we in this house still call Twitter. Just remember, social medias for this show, Civic Media Mid-Mornings, are pretty much officially new and ready to go. If you had subscribed or liked or friended or followed Matt and Air on Air, you're good. Those have just changed over. You're all set. Nothing to do here but enjoy the programming that me and Calvin and senior producer Tucker put together for you every day. But if you want to be part of the conversation, follow us on social media. Look for Civic Media Mid-Mornings on, we are on Facebook, Instagram, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Still lots of great programming still ahead. We have got for you during Audio Sorbet. What sport are you getting up early to watch if it's around the world? Is there something that, you know, are you catching that we should know about? Are you a fan of Hialeah? I feel like that's a very competitive sport. The Australian Open's happening. That's why I'm talking about it. I love tennis, but I'm catching replays because I'm not getting up during Australia hours to watch tennis. But we're talking about that. And then at 10:52, it's Greg's helpful tip. Today I'm talking to Mr. Ben Shapiro about a review on a movie that has not yet been released. So still more to come here on the show and on the network. After us, we got Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, John and Gordy from 2 to 5, and then Pete Schwaboff with Nightlight from 5 to 8 here. But now we're going to talk about a story that was in Wisconsin Watch he's officially a friend of the show. He is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch, a journalist returning back to us. He hasn't been here since September, and I can see he's got a vest on to protect himself from the cold. Mr. Bennett Goldstein is our guest this morning. Good morning, Bennett. Welcome back. I understand you're getting over a little something, and you refer to yourself as a little horse. Well, my friend, you're a big horse in a big world, so welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
No problem. Oh, we had a little bump. There we go. All right. Sorry, the live stream had a little hiccup. Welcome back. And how are you today? How are you going? How are the things? What's going on?
Oh, well, things are doing really well.
Yeah.
I just got back from a little vacation. And
May I ask where you went?
Oh, it was the southern coast of Mexico, kind of a small beach town that was a lot warmer than it is here.
That
right
sounds
now,
amazing, but... Bennett.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was complaining at the time because it was even a little too hot on our last day, but that's something I still treasure now that I'm back here.
I mean, that's something we all do. We're like, oh my gosh, it's 12 below zero. It's so cold. And the moment humidity gets above 50%, you're like, it's so hot. We just can't find a place here in Wisconsin. But I'm happy you're here. You're back. Last time you were here, we were talking about communities coming together and helping to feed those who need a meal, feed the hungry, and it was a great conversation. I'm so happy you're here and back on the show. We're talking today about an article a little more, it's very concerning, and I want to frame it in the fact that I've talked about the fact that we're talking about secrecy. And I know I feel like in today's landscape with the news and, you know, the Epstein files and things of that nature, when we talk about secrecy, there's a lot of national headlines and a lot of national spotlight. We can get an international, people can go in their conspiratorial brains about like spy movies and whatnot. But really what we're talking about is secrecy on a local level, statewide level. And that is what is in your article. And the title is Your Right to Know, the Problem with the Will to Secrecy. So give us an overview of what this story is about, Bennett.
Yeah, it was a bit of a saga. So I was writing a story about this Department of Hearings and Appeals, and it's known as the DHA, and it's a state agency that hears cases about people who, you know, maybe they lost their licenses, not driver's license, but like operator's licenses for a car dealership or a permit, or you know, people who are appealing the denial of Medicaid benefits. Mm-hmm. And the DHA posts the decisions and the outcomes of these cases on their website. So to give an example, there was a mobile home park owner in Stevens Point. And this gentleman lost his license because it turns out that he was falsifying drinking water tests, and it exposed residents to potentially toxic levels of substances like iron and manganese. And so I was reading this decision, and the name of the mobile home park and the owner were blacked out. And so you couldn't read it. You can see the text. And so I wondered why, you know, because the DHA used to post the uncensored documents on their website. And you can still go to the Internet Archive and see these old cases. And so I reached out to the agency just to ask them why. And they told me they changed the policy after a law passed, 2 years ago, that allows judges, state and federal judges, to have their information removed from the Internet, like their contact information, the name of their kids. And it's all for safety, even in the last week in Indiana, we saw that a judge and his wife were shot at their home, and the alleged perpetrator was going to be standing trial in that judge's court. So, I mean, it's a very serious issue. But, when I was told that the DHA was applying this law to all parties, I was thinking, well, this is nothing to do with judges. But he also told me that if someone submitted a public records request for the information, that they would disclose it.
Yeah.
So this whole story kind of begins when I randomly chose a case about a raccoon in Northwest Wisconsin.
What's the raccoon's name? I
chose it because the name was cute. The raccoon's name is Gimpy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the question I have that comes right off the top of my skull is, if this bill was set to, as I remember when this went through, I remember and we kind of all understood, like, yeah, people should be protected from, possible threats to their safety. But how are they justifying the use of something designed for judges in the matter like this, where we are hiding the name, whether it's the name of the person or the business or the location of someone who was clearly, as you said, falsifying water samples? Like, where is the justification from the DHA to do this?
Yeah. So I'll use the raccoon case as an example, because they were citing some very, abstract reasoning. It turns out with the raccoon, this was a local police chief in Northwest Wisconsin who also was a wildlife rehabilitator. And the chief lost her rehab license because Gimpy the raccoon bit one of her employees.
Yeah.
And she released the raccoon into the wild before they could test Gimpy for rabies. So I requested this document, and I was expecting them to deny it because they had already redacted it online. But then the state employee told me that I wasn't even allowed to request the unredacted document. They said they would only respond to my request if I was okay with the redacted one with everything blacked out. And you can't do that in Wisconsin. Our public records laws don't allow agencies to set the terms by which you request information. They can either approve or deny it, and they have to tell you why. So then there was that judge's law, but then I told them, you need to deny me if you're going to say no. Then they said, well, another law, a victim's rights law in Wisconsin, that protects identities of victims of violent crime, prevented them from releasing the full document. But clearly Gimpy is not a violent crime.
No.
And so it took about 2 months, and we had to get an attorney involved just to get the records about Gimpy.
Unredacted.
Yeah, unredacted. Yeah. With the name of the employee and where Gimpy, was living. I think in this case, like, it was pretty obvious the state employees who withheld the documents had very good intentions. They wanted to protect people. But I think at least this case, it kind of shows how it creates new problems because the public is deprived of information, especially of bad behavior.
Yes.
And it doesn't allow them to decide for themselves what, that they have access to in terms of deciding, being able to recognize when bad things are happening.
If you're just joining us on Civic Media Mid-Mornings, we are speaking with Bennett Goldstein, who is a reporter, investigative journalist with Wisconsin Watch, and we're talking about his new article, Your Right to Know, The Problem with the Will to Secrecy. And the thing I'm wondering is, you laid out right there, Bennett, that there's already rules in place saying that they have to give up the information if requested. How are they able to sidestep? I guess my question is, are they sidestepping that already existing rule or law by saying, well, if we just say this, no one will know, and if they enforce the rule, then fine. Well, like, I guess it's like if there are mechanisms in place that create a matter of transparency and accountability, how can they even have anything that goes? How can they have anything on the books that actually push back on that? That's what I don't understand. How can anyone say, well, you can't have that? Well, no, I can. It's clearly here. I can do this. So why are you saying no? How can you legally say no?
Right. Yeah. And I think so. Wisconsin has a balancing test, mm-hmm. Where, even if the law says that something is public, they can still consider other factors that mm-hmm. allow them to weigh their decision. And, but then it's up to a court. Ultimately, if you don't agree with it, a judge would end up deciding. And every case is different, but I think the general, when I, pressed them for an explanation, a lot of it was, well, we're trying to protect people from harassment. And, in the age of AI, people could mine these records and get names and post them on the internet if they had a personal dispute. And yeah. So I think they were really coming at it from a public safety perspective, but I guess, as I'm thinking, well, the public, at least in some cases should be able to decide for themselves mm-hmm. what constitutes safety, because maybe they could be harmed by this mobile home park owner.
Well, and I don't disagree with you. I think public safety is a rather flimsy excuse. I think in that case, like if you go from where you're saying just a request for information versus what they're doing, finding a middle ground where you can say like, all right, what is your intention with this? How are you related to, like, there are ways of both upholding transparency in the face of requests from you and others who might want the information, and also protecting those who may be involved. But at the end of the day, we have these rules and laws in place to uphold the right to know what's going on and to use what I personally believe is a rather flimsy excuse just doesn't pass the test for me. And if we're just allowed to take, like in the matter of Gympie, just saying like, there was no violent act, there's no reason for this. If they can do it for something like this, they can do it for anything they want. And we're going to talk more about that on the other side of the break. So go grab some snacks, grab some hydration, grab some water, Bennett, grab some tea for your voice. But we're talking to Bennett Goldstein from Wisconsin Watch about his new article, Your Right to Know, The Problem with the Will to Secrecy, here on Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Bach. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned, stay informed, stay warm, and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach, your buddy, your pal, your host, your co-conspirator in all things amazing. And you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Still ahead, Audio Sorbet, what sports are you getting up early for? What sports are you liking that we don't talk about? Are you a fan of cricket? I'm still waiting for someone to accurately and concisely explain cricket to me because I feel like I would love that sport. But talking about that at 10:35 and then 10:52, it's a quick tip from Greg to Mr. Ben Shapiro on publishing articles regarding movies that maybe haven't been released yet or in the near future. But we're talking more about that. But right now we are talking to friend of the show, Mr. Bennett Goldstein from the Wisconsin Watch, about his new article entitled Your Right to Know, The Problem with the Will to Secrecy, discussing redaction of records, keeping information private and, quote, secure in the face of requests for transparency, as well as using existing laws to, I guess, excuse and or justify the redaction of information that doesn't seem to make sense. But that article is going to be on the website, on the show notes. So you can read it yourself. I really highly suggest you do, because I think, Bennett, that's something we talked about during the Secret Show on the live stream, is that we have a right. People have a right to privacy in certain matters, and that's decided upon, but there is a right to transparency, a right to information. We have mechanisms and processes in place. And when you add layer upon layer of, roadblocks, it can make people kind of shrug their shoulders and go, I can't do this. It's not worth my time. It's not worth my energy. Sometimes it's money involved. And also it then makes people say, well, what can I do anyways? Me versus the government. Even if, and I'm not talking about the federal, I'm saying like going to your village board and saying, I want this information. They can say, what can I do? So Bennett, what do you say to people? You ask for information all the time. You're adept at this process. What do you advise to people who feel like they don't know where to start?
Yeah. Yeah. And I, it's funny you mentioned, the federal different levels of government, because even at the local level, that oftentimes I find is the hardest to get records for, from your local town or village, mm-hmm. because a lot of people, who serve in government, don't really fully understand the complicated mm-hmm. nature of the public records yeah. law in Wisconsin. And we have of all the states, we have a pretty good one that yeah. Kind of weighs in favor of the public and their right to know. And so, yeah, it can be really daunting. I mean, I'm still working on it, and I've been trying, throwing requests out for years. But I would say like a good starting place, a different state agency where the attorney general works, the Department of Justice in Wisconsin, they have some guides for open government. So relating to open meetings law and open records mm-hmm. law. And it basically kind of gives a big overview over what you can request and what you can't request. And so I recommend giving that a scan. And it's really long, but if you're doing a search for the type of record that you want, you might be able to kind of find some of the relevant bits and pieces. Mm. And it never hurts to try. So people, don't feel silly. My biggest piece of advice is, when you're requesting something, be very specific, like try to know the name of the document that mm-hmm. you want and potentially when it occurred, and maybe what type of a record it is or who was involved, like if there was a name attached to that record.
Yeah.
And the more explanation you can give to the person who has the record about what you're looking for, the more they can usually help you. So you don't need to keep it a secret what you want. Like just say it.
Yeah.
I
was going to say really quick, I worked in local government for many years, and I will say, call it Wisconsin nice or Midwestern nice, but also an ounce of kindness and respect go far a long way. If you you're nice and you say please and thank you and you appreciate, because that's the thing, is the person who is helping you is not the ultimate decider. This is a person who works at a counter. And if they're going to help you, make sure you go a long way when you're nice about it.
Yeah.
And as you said, if you don't know, ask them. They should be able to help you. And if you're nice, that makes them even more apt to help you rather than running in with an attitude or just being like, I want this. You're going to go very
far. Yeah. And preferably if you can, especially if it's local, go in person, mm-hmm. just have a chat, yep. tell them what you're looking for. And you'd be surprised. Yeah. And this is a person behind the desk. So, treat them with kindness and respect, and they'll treat your, request with kindness and respect. And all the other thing, don't feel bad, pushing back if you're denied, mm-hmm. Explain why you don't think you should be denied. And you can go to that open government guide and cite what you think is the relevant law. And then in the worst case scenario, you can always, what I like to call, you can reach out to an attorney mm-hmm. and have them write what I call like sternly worded letters, where they can kind of use their authority and knowledge to help you make your case. And so hopefully that avoids, because at last resort is to, of course, file a lawsuit. But
yeah.
It's better to try to avoid that if possible, because those can be a little expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't disagree with you. And I would say just don't let the process intimidate you either. If you feel you have a right to this information, then pursue it and take the steps that Bennett's talking about and find the information you're looking for. And I think this is important to talk about because, again, when we talk about secrecy, we talk about redacting big files. We tend to not think about village, county, city, what are those places? This happening at all levels. So, and it's the information I feel we're entitled to, or at least we are entitled to find out about and enter into the process. So, you know, take the steps necessary to maintain that transparency. Bennett Goldstein is a reporter with Wisconsin Watch. The article will be on the show notes this morning. That is going to be civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Civic Media Mid-Mornings. You can read that article for yourself. Bennett, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate you coming back.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Also, take care of that throat. Get yourself better. Get some tea in your life. When we come back, audio sorbet. What sports are you waking up early for or staying up late for? Right here, Civic Media Mid-Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay informed, stay warm, and stay close. Welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, your supporter in all things world sports. And you can be a part of the conversation right now if you want. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform. We still call Twitter. Still ahead, 10:52, closing out the show with Greg's Handy Tip. Today I'm talking to Mr. Ben Shapiro about writing, his thoughts, when to publish them. But yeah, it's a handy tip from me to Ben. That's going to close out the show this morning. And then still great stuff ahead. Today, we've got great programming after us from 11 to 2. We have got Tom Hartman on the network. And then following that from 2 to 5, we've got John and Gordy in the afternoon. They'll be speaking to Brittany Carloni, who's a state government and politics reporter at Wisconsin Watch, one of Bennett Goldstein's colleagues. We just spoke to Bennett about his article regarding the will of secrecy here in Wisconsin. You can read more about that on the website by going to the show notes. civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Civic Media Mid-Mornings. We now have our own page there, so you can catch up on the shows, and we will be creating a link on that page to see older shows as well. But they will be talking to Brittany at 2:35 this morning about the gubernatorial race and how it's looking right now in the very beginning of 2026. Got a long way to go on that, but we'll be having those conversations about the elections. Don't you worry. Stay tuned to Civic Media for those discussions. And then Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 5 to 8. Very much looking forward to that. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay informed. Be a part of the conversation. Tomorrow, very, very excited. Very excited on the show here. We'll be speaking with Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Judge Chris Taylor about her campaign, the impetus of it, why she's running, her message. And I want to talk about the testy waters of running a campaign like this, which is nonpartisan, and how you get your message out there in a way that is both informational as well as just not trying to go either way. It's a tough wire to walk, but we will be talking to Chris Taylor tomorrow at 9:35 after the bottom of the hour news. And then at 10 o'clock, we welcome Mr. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. It's every Saturday on Civic Media from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. You got to check out that show. It's fantastic. We will be talking about all things coming out of the world of law. I do want to talk about Attorney General Josh Call's support of Keith Ellison. He is the Attorney General of Minnesota. They are together. They are attorneys general regarding a complaint violating the state's 10th Amendment rights to exist as a sovereign state. But we'll be talking to Jim about that as well as other things coming out of the world of law, but that'll be tomorrow on the show. But today, it's time. It's 10:30 something. It's 22 minutes to 11. There we go. See, I did that for a rate. 22 minutes to 11. And we are now in the midst of audio sorbet. Calvin, can I get there it is. The Fantastic Hops. The Fantastic Hops. This is where I want to hear from you as well. I always want to hear from you. Be a part of that conversation. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC is the number. You can leave a comment on the live stream. We are talking about sports that we get up early for, sports from around the world. I say this because we've got the Australian Open happening right now. We are currently in day 10 is completed. We're going into day 11 tomorrow or later today if you are in Australia. And this goes until the end of, let's see here, we got matches up until the 31st. And I want to know, for me, I love tennis. I don't always watch the Australian Open. It's about also the timing as well as what channel it's on. I'm not willing to subscribe to streaming networks to watch everything. So a lot of times I will just catch up. I'll call myself what Calvin will call himself sometimes when it comes to baseball, a box score fan. I'll check the scores, check the highlights, but I definitely keeping up with it. But are there sports that you will watch, whether it's the Olympics when it's when they're on the other side of the world? Are you watching the World Cup? Is there a sport that you enjoy that plays somewhere else in the world that requires you to get up early or stay up late? What is it? I want to know. I have a friend, as I said before, who gets up very early in the morning to watch women's soccer matches, football matches all over the world, and she loves it. And I want to hear from you. Is there a sport that you get up early for or stay up late for? I would love to stay up. Well, actually, it's not even stay up late. The game. Well, no. One of my tonight's match again, which will feature. Let's see who's playing. It's going to be Novak Djokovic is going to be playing in tonight at 9:30 p.m. our time, and I will be very much asleep or at least in bed for that. So I will not be checking that out. But what out there is the sport you are catching up with? Now, Alicia, who is still awesome on the live stream, she says, does politics count as a sport? Well, you can always watch one of them filibuster speeches, 10, 20, 35 hours. We're asking yourself, how are they going to the bathroom? I have no idea. I would count that. I would count certain viewing of politics as a sport. I know that Brett from Brown Deer, listening on WAUK, says, I'll be getting up early in the morning in Thailand to watch the Super Bowl. But other than that, there is no sport that is a must-see for me. The older I get, the less I watch. I get that, too. I would say I divvy my time between baseball and tennis. Those are the two major sports that I watch. I'll take in some football from here to there. I like watching soccer. I used to watch it a lot, but I don't watch it as much as I used to. But, you know, I give my time to tennis and baseball. And then I believe, let's see here, we had Jenny on the live stream with a comment. I'm just looking for it here. A lot of comments today. Really appreciate y'all reaching out here. I will say this, Calvin. I do not like that on Twitter, our Twitter page, Civic Media's Twitter page, where we are streaming right now. The comments on there, if there are any at all, which I don't know, I haven't checked, they don't pop up on my stream here because it's like they can't do it. I don't understand. That is absolutely ridiculous. I'm not a fan of that. Let's see here. Here we go. Jenny on the live stream says, fun fact, the Wisconsin and Upper Midwest ties to curling are strong. Wisconsin Curling Club Association has a helpful directory. We were talking about this off air yesterday, Calvin and I were, about the Winter Olympics. We'll be talking more about that next week because they begin next week. They are sporting events in which I don't participate or not participate. God, no, I don't participate in any sports. I don't watch, but what I do love, especially when it comes to curling, is that the people, when you watch it, they are so intent and the audience is so into it. And I love that kind of dedication to a sport that I think is easy to make fun of, but it's harder than you think. But I truly love that. And that is, I mean, I have friends who curl and they take it seriously and they buy the outfits. I have a friend of mine who put her head down once. She goes, I spent $250 on a pair of curling pants. I don't know what curling pants do for you, but she did. But is there anything that you're getting up early? Are you a fan of like F1? I know they are all over the place with the clock. Do you watch cars turning right and or left? Is that something you want to get in your life? Alicia also says, I'll tune into British Parliament. That is a sport if I've ever seen one. There is moaning and wailing and cavorting and fighting and screaming and yelling. That is, it's kind of entertaining if it wasn't the fact that it affects the people, but you know, yeah, that definitely is a sport. Calvin, is there any sport that you watch that like you'll get up for? I know that sometimes they'll play football games in other countries or other continents, and those are going on like late at night or early in the morning. Is there anything for you that you see that like, oh, I got to get up early to watch that?
No, most of the things that I enjoy are targeted towards the American audience, mm-hmm. I would say. My most niche sport that I'm like actually like watch, and I've made an effort to avoid it because it's become overtly political and obnoxious to watch.
Oh, okay.
But I really do enjoy MMA. It's fun to watch for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have weird times when they're in Australia or in the Middle East, but yeah, usually they're normal. As far as like Olympic type sports, I've never snowboarded in my life, but yeah. As a kid, I was obsessed with Shaun White and the halfpipe event.
Well, he's a cool fellow.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah. He was like all like, he was a, you know, a very, he's a cool guy, but also I feel like family friendly. He just seemed like a really nice guy. Has anything happened to me? Is there like, I have no idea. Is he a good person still?
I don't think he has any scandals. I know one of the most iconic clips of his career was an interview after he won his first gold medal.
Yeah.
And he was being interviewed and they asked him what he was doing after. And he's like 19 at the time.
And he FCC said compliant, Calvin.
No, I know. He said they were like serving him drinks and stuff. Yeah. And the interview is like, drinks? Aren't you only 19? And without skipping a beat, he's like, I'm talking Mountain Dews, baby.
That is a man who has been trained in the art of a PR. That guy definitely, yeah. It's weird to think, like, to me, Shaun White, I still got to get it out of my brain that he's not like a 13-year-old kid with, you know, an explosion of orange hair out of his head. He's like, I think he's not much younger than me, honestly, but that's neither here nor there. We're talking about sports you get up early for. Are you, I mean, we'll talk about it more next week, but are you going to be down for the Olympics, Winter Olympics? Is that your jam? I feel like for the Summer Olympics, I was very whatever about it. I was like, the Olympics. And I end up watching way more than I expected. So maybe we will be doing some coverage. Maybe we'll do some light coverage here on the show. Calvin, you want to do that? Me and you cover the Winter Olympics?
Yeah, I'm down. I don't know how much I will actually watch, but I'll be on the medal watch.
Dude, I'm always on the medal watch. Yeah. All right, so it's taking place in Italy this year, Northern Italy, with major events near Milan, Cortina d'Ampezzo. So, yeah, there'll be some late nights or early mornings for folks, and it's going to be going on all the time. So I'd love to hear more about that if you guys are keeping up with the Olympics. Calvin says that Shaun White is 39, not close to my age, but still, I mean, Shaun White's going to be 40. Oh, my goodness. That just makes me feel old. I don't know why, but very excited. I'm going to be, you know, maybe watching a live stream if I can get a hold of someone's account, because Lorenzo Musetti is taking on Novak Djokovic, I'm talking tennis right now. I'm sorry if this is not your jam, but like for me, tennis is a big deal. I love it. And Novak Djokovic, to me, the fact that he's world number four is ridiculous, because he was world number one, which seemed like forever on the charts, but he is world number four right now. And what's really cool is in the quarterfinals, Ben Shelton, I almost said Blake Shelton, but Ben Shelton, who is, I feel like, America's answer to Carlos Alcaraz, who I believe Carlos Alcaraz is going to be the next big, hugest thing in tennis. He has won so many tournaments, so many Grand Slams, and I think he's 22. He has a ferocity and an energy about him that is amazing, but I would love to see Ben Shelton and Carlos Alcaraz take on each other in a slam. That would be primetime watching, because they not only play amazingly, but they also put on a show. Robert in La Crosse listening on WLCX says, curling is a sport for all ages 10 to 100. Wisconsin and Minnesota are the hot spots for curling. Robert says that he is part of the La Crosse Curling Club. So, hey, get curling in your life. Just go watch some curling if you don't want to play right away. See what you think. I'd love to know more about that. If you are a curling enthusiast, reach out to us, greg.bach@civicmedia.us, Greg.Bach, B-A-C-H, like the composer, and tell us more about your curling adventures. But coming up after the break, it's a handy tip from Greg to Mr. Ben Shapiro. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay informed, stay warm, and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome, welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Bach. I'm your host, your buddy, your pal, your confidant and co-conspirator in all things democracy, freedom, and you being amazing. You are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network, and you can always be part of that conversation. The number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-STIVIC, and you can get in touch in the live stream by going to Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. As I said, lots of great programming still ahead, including Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, John and Gordy from 2 to 5, and then from 5 to 8, Pete Schwabba with Nightlight. You can also get a hold of the Civic Media app and listen to us live. You can listen to music stations on there as well. We got a lot of great music stations across a few states. But you can be in touch with us by simply putting that Civic Media app on your device today. It is app. Absolutely free for you. A couple of comments from the live stream I want to go over really quick here. We were talking earlier about the dissension and the dislike and the outrage towards the occupation of ICE in the streets of Minneapolis. And Jenny here on the live stream. Let's see here. I just want to get to that. With regard to what we heard from Wisconsin politicians, she said, I believe to Tony Weed, how do you go to something like this when it's happening directly in your community? And that's basically making it sound like this was Alex Pretty's problem, that he made it happen and he is the cause. And that's not, if you watch the video from any angle, that is not at all what happened, period. And it's indefensible. But she also goes on to say, these are not folks who are going somewhere to protest. Going somewhere to protest in traditional folks sense. These are people who hope to step out of their homes, schools, businesses, and hospitals and not see a reason to document unlawful ICE responses. So we have been, and then she goes on to finally say, they are looking out for their neighbors in a way I can only hope my neighbors would look out for me if I needed help. Exactly. That was the crux of the entire conversation in the first hour. If you missed that, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Go to Civic Media Mid-Mornings, and you'll be able to listen to today's program in two pieces, hour one and hour two. You can subscribe to us as a podcast. It'll be delivered to you twice a day, entire show. And we are talking about things like that. For me, it's about the through line is whether we're talking about our politicians and we're talking about the people, or we're talking about, our chief lawyer in Madison. It's about protecting us, preserving democracy, standing up for each other, marching in the streets when it's 40 below zero with a wind chill, and doing what we need to do to make sure that this democracy stands. That's what we are talking about. I don't want to think about left or right. I don't want to think liberal versus conservative. I want to think about humanity, being humane, helping humans whenever they can, as best they can. So thank you very much for reaching out to us all, whether it was Jenny, Alicia, PJ, all the great people who texted. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But now it is time for a segment I like to call A Handy Tip from Greg. Ooh, that was fun. That was very, very fun, Calvin. I think we're going to try all sorts of music going forward, because I feel like this is going to be a new segment, my friends. I'm going to give a handy tip out now. And this tip can go to anybody. This can be a politician. It can be a celebrity. It can be a regular person. If I just see something, if we see something that I feel like really needs a handy tip, that is what we're going to hand out, which is a piece of advice. And today it is to Mr. Ben Shapiro. He is a lightning rod in conservative media. He is one of the owners of the Daily Wire. They, put out very conservative information, but he is also somewhat of he's a movie file, I believe. He's a guy who loves film, cinephile. There's the word I'm looking for, cinephile. He is a screenwriter with varying degrees of success, mostly not good, but that's, keep trying. But apparently, If you don't know this about me and Calvin, we're both big fans of comic book movies. Specifically, we love the new DC universe that's happening, James Gunn's universe. Both thought Superman was fantastic. This year, we're getting Supergirl, which if you saw the movie, was featured. This is a spoiler alert, but this featured a cameo from the young lady who's playing Supergirl, and she will have her own film this summer. And Ben Shapiro wrote a scathing Supergirl review for that movie. Calvin, when does that movie come out?
It comes out on June 26th.
So he reviewed a movie that did not come out yet.
Sounds about right.
So yes, Ben Shapiro wrote a scathing Supergirl review and accidentally published it 7 months early. And I just say to you, a handy tip from Greg, don't do that. I didn't expect you to like the movie. No one did. That's fine. We get you. But put it in the file. Add some legitimacy to yourself. Don't publish it until the movie comes out. That's just a handy tip from Greg. From me to you, Ben Shapiro, you want to write a movie review? And here's another tip for free real quick. See the movie before you actually publish a review, because that also will lend credibility to your statements. Again, no one expects you to like it. You don't like any comic book movies. That's fine. We can talk about that. Come on the show. I'd love to have that conversation with you. But a handy tip from me, from Greg, to Mr. Ben Shapiro. See the movie first, then write that review. Then we'll talk. That has been another handy tip from Greg. Now, I want to thank everyone involved. Thank you very much to Calvin, to Tucker, to Traffic, to engineering. All of you make the things work so this microphone actually operates when I'm talking. I want to thank our guest, Bennett Goldstein, for being here. I want to thank everyone who called, texted, left a live stream comment, just everyone who participated in today's conversation. This is an important one, and we very much, very much appreciate your time. Remember, tomorrow we're talking to Supreme Court candidate Chris Taylor, as well as Amicus host Jim Santel here on the show from 9 to 11. This has been Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is still Greg Bach. I thank you for your time. Do not forget, stay tuned, stay warm, stay informed, and stay close. Talk to you tomorrow, friends.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.